up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is absolutely lit in the NFL right now. There's moves going on, releases, signings, trades. It is absolutely crazy, and we are here to bring it to you this week with some of the big, big Dynasty news that we've seen happen here in the last week. But first of all, no Tyler this week. R.I.P. He didn't die. He'll be back, so don't worry. Just R.I.P. Well, for this week.
R.I.P. To the dad jokes.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're all dads here, so yeah. If there's opportunities, shoot your shots, boys. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm here with my co-host.
That's how we had kids.
Yeah, a couple of them. I'm here with my co-host, Tim Keller, this week, as well as our bullpen co-host, Justin McCasland. Justin, what is new in your neck of the woods, fine sir?
Oh, not a lot. I guess it's my week for custody, so here with you guys.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Good at home, so I realized how terrible that sounded after I said it.
Justin picks us up on Fridays, takes us back to his two-bedroom apartment. He buys us pizza. We play video games. His girlfriend comes over.
He promised me a blizzard at Dairy Queen this week, so I'm pretty pissed I didn't get one.
And then Monday we go back to Dad. Tyler, we'll see you soon.
Yeah. So I had a couple birthday parties this weekend. It tis the season. Hashtag kids birthday party season. One was at Chuck E. Cheese, which is just organized friggin' chaos. I will never have my kids party at a Chuck E. Cheese. I'm sorry. Not sorry. Yeah, it was crazy.
Tim, no one wants to hang out with a rat anyways.
Not a creepy robotic one, no. And then like a live one. There's two Chuck E. Cheese's. Like, how do I explain this to my child? It's just crazy. Yeah.
How can Chuck E. be up there playing in that weird band and then also be down here waving at me?
That's exactly what my son said. My son's almost six, and he's like, Dad, why are there two Chuck E.'s? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not having this discussion. Let's go play games. And that's, exactly what we did. So this week, we are going to talk about the big moves. We're also going to bring you a two-round Mookie. I almost said Mookie Rock Draft. That's a variant of a rookie mock draft, I heard, is a Mookie Rock Draft.
It's a Mookie Rock Draft.
You know what it is? It's your drafting Pearl Jam songs. A Mookie Rock Draft.
I was about to say, maybe that's like a 1980s, left fielder for the Cubs or something. Mookie Rock.
Or a right fielder for the Boston Red Sox, Mookie Betts. Who's a phenomenal athlete, by the way. But anyway. He probably could play football. So we're going to do a two-round rookie mock draft as well for you guys. Just going to be standard half-point PPR, no super flex, no tight end premium. We're going to try to predict how this thing is going to go one more time before the NFL draft. And then after that, we'll bring you a whole new mock because it's probably going to change quite a bit. So let's get into this news. We've had some pretty big things happen this past week. Now, I'll get to the big one. Mr. Big Chest, Tony Toe Tap, was traded from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Oakland Raiders for a third round pick and a fifth round pick. And the Oakland Raiders locked him up long term and made him the highest paid receiver per year in the NFL.
Well, he was actually traded to the Raiders via Buffalo, but yeah.
Yeah. No one stops in Buffalo for too long. They stop at Duff Wings and then they just go. And they're out. They're like, this place sucks. I'm out of here.
That made for a great day of media, though. I mean, did you guys see that RotoWear shirt that they came out with?
Oh, genius.
It was phenomenal.
They had the date of the alleged news with the Buffalo Bills, little Buffalo there. And,
never forget. And had the blonde mustache.
that might be their best work yet.
I know. Oh, man. No, that was crazy. I saw someone say that Martavis Bryant brought almost the same amount in trade value as Antonio Brown, which
minus the third round pick.
Well, they traded a third for Martavis last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a third, so minus the fifth. For some reason, I was thinking it was just the fifth last year. But yeah,
obviously the contract comes into play. But still, it's really sad return for Antonio Brown.
So let's start with, I don't want to start with how this affects the Raiders. I want to go the opposite. How does this affect the Steelers? Because my opinion is, in Dynasty, as of right now, you have to downgrade Ben Roethlisberger. Yep. In my personal opinion, I know a lot of people are going to be like pumping up Juju. I think this hurts Juju more than it helps him.
Yep.
To be completely honest. And let's talk a little bit of James Washington too, and just general thoughts on Pittsburgh's situation after this trade. Let's start with you, Justin.
So I've been on this podcast and said before that I have Juju as my 101 receiver. He's not my 101 overall, obviously, but he's my top receiver. I don't think this hurts him as bad as people will say. The thing about the Steelers is they've done a really good job drafting receiver. And yeah, they've had Antonio for a while, but they had good receivers before him as well. And were fantasy relevant then. So I don't see this being a situation where there's so much drop off that Juju isn't still at least a top 12 receiver this year. And I raised him up and James Washington as soon as Antonio started his craziness. And if anybody took my advice, then kudos to you. You're winning today because they're inevitably bringing more in the trade market. I think James Washington's a wonderful receiver, and he should be the biggest benefactor in this, really, like you kind of alluded to.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting parts of this trade is that you're going to have people that are going to say, you know, this is a sell window for James Washington because there's still free agency, there's still the draft, there's a lot of wide receivers available in both. So it's like, all right, what if they bring in a couple of guys and then James Washington isn't the number two there? So there's going to be, I guess it's kind of like whatever your personal beliefs are. Maybe it's in the player or the situation. So it's a very polarizing situation for me personally to try to analyze. I have Juju in a couple dynasty leagues. I traded him in one league last year as well. So to me, it's, you know, I think the presence of Antonio Brown helped Juju Smith-Schuster out quite a bit. I still think he'll be a very good receiver on his own. I don't think he finishes as a wide receiver one next year. I think he's in that firm wide receiver two territory personally, because I think that you have to downgrade. You know, they traded their right tackle, Marcus That's Gilbert, true. You know, I just think that they might go to more of a Connor and Samuels backfield. I think they're going to incorporate Vance McDonald more because he's been pretty dynamic when he's been given opportunity. So to me, it's like, you know, Juju's target share will still be 25 to 30%. I'm not worried about that. But the efficiency, if they're going to start to bracket coverage on Juju because he's the guy, you know, I don't like his chances as much. And I'm not shitting on him as a player. I still really like Juju as a player. I'm just, my expectations are ratcheted down a little bit because of this situation as of right now. Now, if they bring in someone in the draft that is a perfect complement to him or in free agency, then yeah, things will change. You know, this situation is very liquid. You know, there's nothing right now that's set in stone. So I think that's what we have to remember.
The time to buy. The time to buy was before this news broke. So if you're going out and paying for these players right now, you're overpaying.
Yes.
Unless you find someone panicking that's, you know, that thinks, oh my gosh, the Steelers are a dumpster fire right now. They're going to be the new Browns. No, they're going to want to come out and rebuild with the money they've got left, you know, because they were able to offload Antonio Brown's contract as well.
Nope. They got a $21 million dead cap hit.
Yep. Okay. So, $21 million. What does that put them at salary cap wise?
I don't have it in front of me, but I know their salary cap situation. They traded Gilbert, which helped them out. I think they're going to restructure. They're probably in the bottom third of the league in available funds, if I remember correctly. So they don't have. They're not going to be making splashy signings, I don't think.
Okay, I'm actually looking it up right now because I'm really intrigued.
I know that Golden Tate has kind of reached out to them a little bit on social media. Too. You know, he could play from the slot, but I'm more in line with Doug here, and same exact thing Doug kind of said is, I fully believe that Juju can win at all levels of the field as a wide receiver, but he has shown that he's been able to do that at such a high rate these past few years, while you have one of the league's absolute alphas playing opposite of you, so he's had that secondary coverage assigned to him every game that Antonio has played. Now, I 100% believe that this trade of Antonio Brown makes the Steelers a very big wide receiver landing spot in the draft. But until that young wide receiver can prove that they could also, you know, they're going to demand coverage, Juju's going to see the bracket. James Washington has that speed element. He can stretch the defense. Juju is that all-around player. He can win shallow. He can win, you know, in the intermediate. And he can also go deep as well himself. So if they can get another guy that can, you know, maybe play that intermediate to shallow role as well and just keep those linebackers and those safeties honest a little bit to not let Juju be the 100% focal point on most plays, that's going to help Juju out a lot. But as of right now, I think this move hurts Juju.
Gotcha. So let's flip it on to the other side of the story. And that's Antonio Brown landing in Oakland. So I'm going to give you just a landscape of what Oakland's offense looks like right now. So Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, free agents. Really the only running backs on the roster is going to be Jalen Richard. They have Chris Warren, who was a, you know, a preseason dynamo last year for them, and then they mysteriously IR'd him. I see what you're doing over there. At wide receiver, they have Seth Roberts, who they can cut with no salary cap penalties. Same thing with Jordy Nelson. Martavis Bryant is still on the roster, but he is suspended indefinitely. Jared Cook, the tight end, is a free agent. They just traded their left guard, Kelechi Osemele, today to the New York Jets. So a lot of things are changing on the Raiders. So, Tim, give me your thoughts, your first initial thoughts on AB being a member of Raider Nation.
AB, it takes a tick down. One, he's going to new offense as a 30-year-old player. When this whole AB thing started to happen, I was talking to a buddy of mine in one of my home leagues and just saying, seriously, how often do players, especially at this advanced of an NFL age, move teams and then find success a second time? And I 100% expect that Antonio Brown, Mr. Big Chest himself, is going to still be a very, very talented wide receiver. I'm not doubting the talent at all, but we will probably never see those AB type numbers again. Because other than Randy Moss, it doesn't happen very often that a player switches teams this late in his career and finds success. And Randy Moss is
T.O. did too. When he went to the Eagles, he was 30.
Yeah, okay. But I'll give
it
to you.
Still rare, but I think Antonio Brown is that type of talent. The question is can Oakland not screw this up?
I mean, they committed a record contract to him. So to me, it says now, I know this year he saw like 180 targets, I think, with the Steelers. I don't think he's going to see that type of the same volume just because I don't think...
That's the offense.
Yeah, the Steelers threw the ball more than anybody else in the NFL this year, first of all. But if AB sees 150 to 160 targets, I still think he's a wide receiver one. I mean, there's no doubt the guy's talent is through the roof. You know, Matt Harmon was going over his reception perception, and it is absolutely phenomenal. Like, he still has it. Like, he gets open. The nuances of the game. AB is an absolute wizard out there of running routes, in my opinion. Although some people were dogging him for it, and I was like, what?
I know some people were saying that they feel that Derek Carr is a little more hesitant than Big Ben is when it comes to throwing into tight windows. If you actually watch Antonio Brown, there's not too many times that there's a very tight window on him. He runs his routes. It gets open. He gets separation. Mm-hmm. So all Derek has to do is deliver a catchable ball most of the time. And Derek can do that. I do believe that Derek Carr is a good enough quarterback to do that. I don't think Derek Carr is Ben Roethlisberger yet, but he at least has those raw tools where he could develop into a Ben Roethlisberger type, you know, further on down his career. Ben wasn't, you know, lights out his first few years in the NFL himself. He grew into what he is now.
Yeah, and I think, too, is like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, other Raider receivers. Like, has Derek Carr had a real wide receiver one in his career? I'm trying to think back of who they've had there over the years, and I really can't think of anyone off the top of my head that's been even remotely close to Antonio Brown. In talent. Yeah, Crabtree's more of a possession guy. And he had some good years. But I can't think of anyone that's even close.
Who did they have there in, 2016? When it was like him and Tom Brady were racing for the MVP race.
You had to ask. I don't know off the top of my head. It's no one notable, I don't think.
Yeah, I can't think of who they had there, honestly.
It was Crabtree.
Amari Cooper.
He had Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, Cooper is a nice player. You know, a lot of people have said, well, look what Cooper did in this offense. Well, he didn't exactly get peppered with targets, and I don't think he was a fit with Gruden the whole time. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why they traded him. So, I mean, I'll take Antonio Brown over Amari Cooper from a talent perspective. Sorry, not sorry. But the proof is in the pudding. Like, Antonio Brown is in rarefied air when it comes to the wide receiver pantheon.
Gruden was thinking he was going to see something close to AB getting Amari Cooper, and then Amari just didn't. You know, he's just a tick below what Gruden wanted him to be.
I have no idea happened with that situation. So
that plus, you know, that situation sucked. I mean, from a morale perspective, you got to figure that team was just like, ah, screw it, we're going to collect a paycheck.
Well, one of the things like in the Osemele trade today is that, you know, he's played at a Pro Bowl level, all pro level, and his play fell off last year. You know, they had the issue with Donald Penn, who was another lineman that was disgruntled. And I think that took, you know, guys like Osemele didn't play as good as they could because of the situation. So
I read several spots that Tom Cable, their offensive lineman coach, is just not good.
He's just not a good human either.
But that's the real problem, is that their offensive line immediately started going down as soon as they hired him.
Yeah, so I think in leagues where I have AB, I'm currently holding, and if I'm in leagues where I don't own AB, I'm pinging the AB owner this week and asking, like, hey, are you interested in moving AB and seeing what the price is? If the price is a mid-first rounder in this draft and maybe a wide receiver three, I'm pulling the trigger. And I think that can get it done in some leagues. I've seen some deals where people have traded away Antonio Brown, and I've just scratched my head and been like, wow, okay, that's really selling low on a player who's locked up long-term, making big money in a pretty favorable situation, in my opinion. So, yeah, I would say, you know, try to hit that Antonio Brown owner up and see what they have to say. And if the price is right, I would buy. But if I own, I'm going to hold. I'm not going to sell right now. Because you're
Doug,
not...
on the Patreon, you brought up when big deals like this happen, targeting some of those ancillary players, players on the periphery of these big deals. So let's say Derek Carr. You're a Derek Carr owner. What are you doing with Derek Carr right now?
I saw Derek Carr get traded in a league today. He got traded in a Superflex league. And the money, I was like, that's actually not too bad for Derek Carr. So I think if I'm in a super flex league, especially like in the UDPL, perfect example, I have Ben Roethlisberger as one of my quarterbacks. So I was looking around at some rosters. I'm like, I could probably flip Roethlisberger for Carr plus. And I'm like, I don't think that would be a bad deal. You know what I mean? So I think if you can, if again, it's all about price. We know that's how it works in Dynasty. Yeah. You know, maybe you give it a little bit of time for the move to sink in and there not to be excitement around it anymore. Give it a couple of weeks and then you try to go get Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a Derek Carr owner that wants to move him, I say hold. I don't think the Raiders are done adding to this wide receiver core. You know. Let a little bit of this buzz from the Antonio Brown trade die down. It will. Just give it time. But another free agency move, the NFL draft, they add another decent name brand piece at that, you know, to that wide receiver core. It's going to go back up, and it's probably going to go back up with a bump this next time. So,
well, and Antonio Brown will still be there. So it's not like you're not going to still have that price and value baked in. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree with what you're saying.
Everybody would be like, oh my God, first they went and got Antonio and now they got player X as well. Oh, I got.
And this,
you know,
is
Derek Carr is really worth it now.
A classic timing move, because this is obviously the big hot news right now with some of the stuff that we're going over. But just in a few days, we have NFL free agency starting. So once that starts and there's all these players moving, I want to circle back to the moves that happened this week, because they're not going to be as fresh. They're not going to be as hot. And people might be a little bit distracted with all the other stuff that's going on in their roster. And maybe you can find yourself an even better deal by waiting until the other news is hot. I always try to zig and zag in leagues. So if there's like hot news on one player, I'm trying to go after a player like that maybe just changed teams or no one's really talking about type of thing, while the buzz is hot in other areas. So I think that's something that you can pull off in Dynasty pretty successfully as well. So speaking of which, there's been a little bit of shift in Kansas City, and a lot of people are on the fence on how this affects both of these players. So Carlos Hyde was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. He wasn't out at work long, like 2 days. He visited Kansas City. They signed him to a one-year deal. So obviously we know that Damian Williams was the starter there after Kareem Hunt was released after his domestic violence incident. So I guess, so Justin, I'm going to go to you. So I've heard people on both sides of the ball here with Damian Williams. They're either like, this means that Damian Williams is the guy, or people are like, I don't know. Where does this sit for you when you try to analyze the Kansas City backfield in 2019? Or is it an incomplete because we still have some things that could happen?
It is incomplete because we still have the draft and there are still other free agents, and we've seen several teams do that where they just take and grab a handful of guys. I like Damian Williams and thought that, you know, Miami was just toxic for any running back, and I don't think that he's necessarily like a world beater, and his value is totally dependent upon the fact that he's in that Kansas City offense. I am not a fan of Carlos Hyde and never have been. So them signing Hyde indicates to me that they are looking to add cheaper value at running back versus spending highly. So,
which is smart.
Exactly. It is. So I'm not as worried if I own Damian Williams that they're going to draft like a Josh Jacobs that's just going to completely tank his value. I would expect, you know, them to draft some players in the back end. Like, the I think a player that would still cause me grief if I had him would be Justice Hill, because I think that he'll be a value for a team in the NFL draft and a sneaky value. But if not him, like, it could get pretty late, you know, talking like fifth, sixth, seventh round running backs that really wouldn't be a competition for an incumbent vet.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Kansas City too, so they just released Justin Houston today. D Ford, they franchised, but he's supposedly on the trading block. Kansas City has so much work to be done on the defensive side of the ball. I just can't see them using a top five round pick on a running back. So it's going to be very interesting to see how everything plays out there. With this move, I have Damian Williams in a bunch of spots because I liked him when he was in Miami. I got to see him play against the Patriots, and he's one of those guys that when he played against the Pats, he would always flash. So I own Damian Williams in a few spots. To me, this move doesn't necessarily scare me. I think Kansas City is just saying, hey, you know what? If Damian Williams can handle a full workload, awesome. You know, he might be the guy, but if he goes down with an injury, we know that Carlos Hyde can handle a full workload. Now, he did catch 50 passes just 2 years ago. Now, most of those were checkdowns from CJ Beathard, let's be honest. But a 50 reception season on your resume isn't a bad thing. So, Tim, what was your thoughts when you first heard about this?
I'm right in there with you and Justin as well. Not the world's biggest Hyde fan. I do like Damian Williams. I love what he was showing at the end of last year. I loved him coming out of Oklahoma, and I hated what I was seeing out of Miami, and I didn't know if it was the player, the scheme, or a combination of the both, and it seems it was more the scheme than it is the player, obviously, at this point. But, yeah, I was a buyer of Damian Williams, early this offseason. So the Hyde thing, my initial reaction is, that kind of stinks. But then I got to thinking about it, and Doug, I came to the exact same realization, is the Chiefs need to focus so much on their defense. This move is saying we're just going to stack bodies. We're stacking bodies at the running back core as cheap as possible, and we're going to go with that. This is our guy. What the Rams did. Todd Gurley gets dinged up. Here comes Jonathan Stewart, and guess what? He's going to start running back, running dudes over. But yeah, that's what I see the Chiefs doing. They're just bringing in guys they can afford with talent, NFL production. If something happens to their guy, Damian Williams, they have Carlos Hyde to lean on.
Yep, exactly. So a couple other quick news and notes before we get into our mock draft here. It appears that the Denver Broncos are not a well-run organization. So
you don't say.
They picked up the Emmanuel Sanders option on his contract. This man is going to be 32 years old. He just tore his Achilles tendon, and they picked up his option, which was like $10 million or something god-awful. I could not believe this when I saw this. I was just like, you have to be kidding me. It's almost as bad. Well, it's a worse move than the Panthers picking up Torrey Smith's option. It wasn't for the same amount of money, but Torrey Smith at this point in his career is a total jag, and there's 27 Torrey Smiths in the NFL. Like, why bother picking up his option and spending the money? It blows my mind when these GMs make this decision. But hey, I don't have their job. Whatever. So Emmanuel Sanders looks to be back this year. I was hoping he was going to be gone because I want to see Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton really flourish with Joe Flacco. But we'll see where Sanders comes in his recovery. He's one of those guys that's a workout warrior, so he'll probably be ready for the beginning of the season.
They're saying he's ahead of schedule.
Yeah, of course they are. Another head-scratching move. Nick Boyle re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens because they don't have 75 tight ends on their roster to begin with. So Nick Boyle, I saw this come across my Twitter feed, and I was like, say what now?
This is just frustrating.
Nick Boyle got $6 million a year, $18 million deal over 3 years. Now, it's funny because I looked at it and I kind of laughed and I was like, okay, he's a blocking tight end. Sure. I guess I get it. And then Adam Schefter tweets like 2 hours later that a GM said that Nick Boyle was the best tight end to hit the free agent market in 3 years and that he was going to have this huge market. And I was like, you have to be kidding me.
No. I mean, the Ravens for years now have been so frustrating at the tight end position.
Ugh.
And there were so many dynasty owners. And you touched on it, Doug. He has never been a big-time receiving threat. So, you know, the Mark Andrews owners, don't panic. Don't do anything stupid. Don't sell them off for a discount.
Go buy Hayden Hurst dirt cheap.
Yeah, yeah. That's really the one that's going to take a big ding, and you're probably going to get him next to nothing right now. But yeah, don't, if you own Mark Andrews, don't do anything dumb, because
yeah,
they're two different players. So just hold on to Andrews and his time will come. The Ravens for some reason have this crazy love for the tight end position, and we thought maybe with the change of GM this year that would change, but that is not the case, it looks like.
Yeah, they ever since, you know, the Dennis Pittas, the
I
Todd,
Dennis Pitta.
I do too. Yeah, yeah. The Todd Heaps of the world.
Todd Heap.
Yeah, I mean, they've had, I mean, I remember Pitta, like, it pretty much didn't have a hip anymore, and he was still playing for them. They just wouldn't let him go, and he was still making crazy money. So, whatever,
we
Ravens.
We all expect the Ravens just run the ball, I don't know, 75 times a game. I mean, this is just kind of going along
there's
with
been,
that. Thing.
There's been some hot tweets in the streets that Le'Veon Bell might be a Baltimore Ravens. So that's a name to keep an eye on here when free agency kicks off on Wednesday. Yeah. Just saying.
Tampering starts pretty soon, too.
Huh?
I think the tampering period starts pretty soon.
I think it starts on Monday.
Yeah, noon on Monday, I believe.
Yep. So you might see some early stuff come out, too, which will be, these next few days are going to be really exciting. These are always fun to see the crazy money a player that you didn't think should get paid does get paid. Like, perfect example, Danny Amendola last year got like $6 million a year. He got released by the Dolphins. I don't want to say I can guarantee that he'll be back with the Patriots, but the Patriots only have like two receivers on their roster that are under contract. So I'm pretty sure Danny Amendola is going to be a Patriot again. And I'm going to say it here. I know Julian Edelman's done some awesome things in the postseason, but I think Danny Amendola is the best postseason receiver in Patriots history. There, I'm putting that out there. So I will gladly welcome him back into the fray to try one of their Super Bowl next year, because I like Danny Amendola. So let's get into this mock draft. So we're going to do two rounds. We're going to do 12 picks per round, so 24 total players. Thank you for the math lesson. I am going to pick first, and then it's going to go to Tim and then to Justin, and then we're just going to repeat that process. So we're not going to give you
the
deep...
And the format is?
Oh, the format is just a standard half-point PPR, no super flex, no tight end premium, pretty vanilla league settings. Let's put it that. So there's no twists or turns or anything like that. So we're going to try to give you the best that we can here for two rounds. I'm going to kick us off at the 1-1. He's been my 1-1 for a while now. Post-combine, I saw exactly what I needed to see. The explosiveness was good. He ran a faster 40 than some people said he was going to run. It's N'Keal Harry. He's my number one. He's been my number one for a while. The running backs in this class, I'm not willing to crown any of them. Maybe even post-draft, to be honest. So I'm just going to go with Harry because I think he's the safest player here in the draft, especially at the 1-1. You know, the 1-1's different than it has been in years past where there's been a slam dunk, there's been a Saquon, there's been a Zeke, and players like that. This year, it's kind of up in the air. But I'm putting my chips in the middle of the table on N'Keal Harry. So, Tim, who you got at the 1-2?
Oh, man, the 102. I want to play a strategy game here because I think I can get my guy that I have ranked here at my next pick. But I also don't want to miss out on my guy. Mm. So we're gonna play a little game here. I'm going to take Josh Jacobs, the Alabama running back. You know, I'm interested to see his pro day numbers if we get to see anything like that. But I think this kid is the best running back in this class. He can do a little bit of everything. I'm interested to see if there's any video that comes out of the pro day of him catching the ball. I'd love to see him catch the ball, see if he has any of the double catches, drops, things like that. I just want to be sold a little bit more in his hands. But Josh Jacobs, you gotta love those Alabama running backs, and that's for sure. And I see Justin already has his pick up in the chat. So, why don't you announce it to the world?
Yeah, so I think I knew good pick, what game you were going to play. And I've got the rankings pulled up. I see Jacobs is your 101, so you're probably really happy about that. It's one of those situations where I would be thrilled to have a top three pick this year, because I think that anyone you get is 101 caliber. And I mean, for at this point right now, without draft capital. And so, yeah, I'd be tickled to have Hakeem Butler at 103. I managed to get him last week at 102. He is my 102 in my rankings. I think that he's a special wide receiver. The knock against him is that why didn't he do it sooner, which is a concern. And if the NFL says that's a concern and, you know, he drops to the late third or the fourth round, I'll take notice too. But as of right now, I think that he's a special athlete. I think that he was very productive in his last year, and was starting to come on in his the year prior. So I like him there. Who do you got in 104?
So the Butler hype train is full steam ahead, it looks like.
I was going to say, I heard some analysts talking about Butler to Pittsburgh potentially.
Well, they need a Martavis Bryant replacement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similar. So at 1-4, I am gladly going to take the best Ole Miss receiver on the board here. His name's A.J. Brown. It's not DK Metcalf. Sorry, not sorry. I'm going to take A.J. Brown. I think he's going to be the more productive player in the NFL. He's the more complete receiver. He may not be as explosive as an athlete as DK Metcalf, but I like his game a lot, and I think he's going to be awesome at the next level. So it's A.J. Brown, day, all day, at the 104. Tim, did I just snipe you?
Yeah.
Playing games, man, playing games.
I tried a little experiment. I do have Jacobs as my 101s. Taking him there at 102 does make sense. But I am falling more and more in love with A.J. Brown by the day. Mm. So I really wanted to take him there at 102. You know what, though? 105. 105 here. I'll go ahead. I'll take the other Ole Miss receiver.
Well, if I have
the workout warrior. He posted up some amazing combine numbers, as long as you don't look at the agility drills. And that does concern me. And you look at his route tree. What I saw on tape, definitely the go routes.
It's like
there.
A route branch.
Yeah, it goes straight. It kind of branches at the top.
It's a route
for a
trunk.
Little bit of a post. He does run a handful of slants that I saw on film. And I think I remember seeing like a corner route or two. But the reality is, early on in his career, he's going to have to be Dez Bryant-esque. He's going to have to be up in the air, winning the jump balls, winning the contested catches. And he's got to go to an offense that is going to do Demaryius Thomas-like things. Hit the ball in his hands early, near the line of scrimmage, and let him use his athleticism to work the ball down the field.
Justin.
Very nice, man.
Back to you.
So at 106, I'm going to take the next running back off the board. Darrell Henderson is an explosive athlete out of Memphis. He did really well at the combine. He was super productive. And I think that a guy like that, if he would have been in last year's class, he should be directly compared to guys like Rashad Penny, the small school hyper productive player. I actually like him more than Penny. So outside of, you know, draft capital, we'll see where he lands and what kind of opportunity he gets. But running back is just a matter of time before that opportunity comes up.
Agreed. So at the 1-7, I'm going to lean running back as well, in hopes that the player that I want at the 1-10 gets back to me. I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe we'll have a little flippy floppy and Tim snipes me on this one. But I can't resist the value here for David Montgomery. Now, I know he didn't test as a phenomenal athlete, but when you watch his tape, he's legit. He doesn't have the long speed. He's going to get caught from behind. But what he does in between the tackles, the power, he does have elusiveness. My hype's come down a little bit on him, but here at the 1-7, like, I'll take Montgomery all day.
I would have liked to have seen slightly better numbers out of Montgomery, but nothing on his film made you think that he was going to put up these crazy, crazy mm-hmm. good numbers either. So, you know what, Doug? I have a feeling if I don't take the guy I think you're thinking about now, I'm going to get sniped again. But I'm going to go with somebody other than that. I'm going to go with Kelvin Harmon. Okay. North Carolina State. You know, ultra productive wide receiver in college. Some people have him as their 101 receiver in this class. I like him. I think I have him at 6 or 7 overall in my rankings. So, I mean, I'm getting him slightly behind of where I had him ranked. So a bit of a value pick here for me. But I like Harmon a lot, and I'm interested to see where his landing spot is. I think this is a guy that if he lands in the right situation, he could definitely jump up people's draft boards very quickly.
That's very true. I was kind of surprised about that one. I thought you guys were going to go running back here. In fact, I am going to go running back here. Going to be that snipe guy. This guy had a really good combine, and he was behind an all-world talent last year. So Miles Sanders is going 109.
That's the guy I wanted.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. Yeah. Like, you're telling me I can get a guy like this at the back end of the first round?
Yeah.
This draft class is better than anybody ever gave it credit for. And the only missing piece is the draft capital. And we'll see if the offensive players go highly enough to make us confident in what we see right now beforehand. So, and I don't want to sound like we're giving so much credit to draft capital, but it does matter for getting on the field. So that is my 109 is Miles Sanders.
Well, I've got some good news. Neither of you boys sniped who I was thinking about taking at the 1-7. Now, it might be a little bit bold, but this guy is clearly the best athlete at the position in this class. It's Noah
You're
Fant.
Doing it again, Doug.
It's Noah You're Fant from Iowa, dude. Like, this kid is electric. He is smooth as butter. He's fast. Ugh. I love everything about Noah Fant. I don't care where he lands because I think he's going to be a starter on day one. So Noah Fant at the 110 for me all day. Thank you, boys.
Once Sanders got taken, I immediately said, oh, yeah, I'm getting Fant. And then Doug with his intro just, oh, man, I knew it. I knew it immediately. So I'm going to – I got a guy I really like, or I'm going to get – you know what? I'm just going to take the guy. Like Deebo Samuels. South Carolina.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I really, really like Debo's tape. I didn't think he did anything at the combine to make himself jump up. I don't think he did anything at the combine to make himself fall. But you had some guys that at the combine put up crazy numbers. You know, we're looking at you, Metcalf. But Debo's that guy who's just a solid player, another guy. Just like Harmon, that if he falls to the right team in the draft, that there are going to be people that are out there just screaming, ranting, and raving to get their hands on Deebo Samuels.
I like it. I like it. So even though this is not a tight end premium or super flex draft, at a certain point, you know that tight ends or quarterbacks have the draft capital and they're going to get the opportunity and they're going to be fantasy productive. It's just a matter of when and how much – does that value then eclipse some of these other skill positions? So I'm going to be taking TJ Hockenson, the teammate of Noah Fant, who actually before Fant came into the combine and did exactly what we expected him to do, people were talking about taking ahead of him. So really for these two guys, they're neck and neck for me, and it's just a matter of who gets the better landing spot. So 112, TJ Hockenson.
Oh, I like that pick. It's solid. Whew, I got this. So many different directions I can go in this next one to kick off the second round. Whew. I'm going to take that risk again and hope there's a guy. Hope my guy's there on the way back. But I'm going to go with a running back who had a good combine. He didn't do anything super juicy or super flashy. Just kind of like his career at Alabama. Just rock solid. You know what you're going to get. I liked what I saw out of him. I'm going to go with Damian Harris at the 2-1. I think it's a good value there. I think he can come in and be a starter for a team on day one. Now, it may not be as a three-down back, but I think there's a role definitely for him on the two-down side in the NFL. So I'm going to go with Damian Harris here at the 2-1.
It's a good pick, Doug. It's a very good pick. I have this guy ranked as number 10 overall in my rankings. I liked the tape. I wasn't in love with the tape, but then he went to the combine and I'll tell you what, the kid's electric. The kid is an athlete. He jumped out of the building. He ran through the building. You know, he made me go back and watch more tape. And really, I can't say I found anything new on the tape to make me go, oh, that's what I missed. But I think he's going to be a solid, solid NFL wide receiver. And that's Paris Campbell. I mean, the kid The kid didn't do anything on tape to make me go, eh, no, he's not worth it. And then his athletic profile just backed it up. I think there's multiple ways to use him. I think he's going to be slightly more landing spot dependent. But I think with the right OC, Paris could be a point getter for you on your fantasy team.
Yeah, I don't think anybody improved his stock more than Paris Campbell post-combine. Because, I mean, some people were buzzing about him, but then the combine hit, and then it was Paris Campbell season.
Yeah. Lit it up.
Big time.
Absolutely. If anybody's going to snipe me, it's going to be right here.
Probably not. I'm taking someone that I'm higher on than other people, and that's probably because of his weight. And that is Marquise Hollywood Brown. And so I know that he is very slight, and some people have this preconception that he is only a deep speed threat, and he's not. He runs a full route tree. He was very good at Oklahoma. He's one of those guys I would like to see put on 15 pounds. I don't know if he can do it in the first year, just because I know that that's really difficult to do whenever you're working out like they are. But he is a really good athlete, really good receiver, and I think he has a lot of DeSean Jackson in him, and I'm not saying that as like his peak. Like, that's what I see whenever I watch him on film.
Yeah, I like that pick. So Antonio Brown had to pause himself on, I think it was Instagram, when he was talking about his cousin Marquise Brown joining the Raiders. So that'll be interesting if they end up pulling the trigger on that. That would be kind of a fun landing spot for him, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I am going to go with my pick at the 2-4. So my last pick, I took a rock solid, I would say safe running back. With this one, I'm going to take a running back that has some injury concerns, but his tape is electric, and he may have the highest ceiling. If he ends up being healthy, he may have the highest ceiling of any running back in this draft. So I'm happy to get him at the 2-4. I'm going to take Rodney Anderson from OU because, you know, he didn't do anything at the combine. He's coming off a knee injury, but I don't think it hurt his stock at all. I think, you know, GMs are going to take a maybe late third, fourth round pick on him, and I'll love it because I think Anderson is a great talent. So I am more than happy to have him join my team here at the 2-4.
If he gets that much draft capital, I will be all in on mm-hmm. Rodney Anderson. Yep. I think that you nailed it. He has best running back in this class potential. To me, he feels like one of those guys that his injury concerns are going to probably put him in like the late fourth, even the mm-hmm. fifth round. And at that point, we're talking about a guy who's similar to Jay Ajayi. It's going to be landing spot dependent.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't land with the Dolphins.
Oh my gosh, that'd be the worst. I just throw my papers in the air.
You know, Doug, I was sitting here and I had it kind of between two guys, and I really, really like the guy I'm about to take, but I was looking at Anderson and like, how the hell do I let him slide any further than this? So, you know, it's a good thing you took him because he was coming to me if you didn't. So that leaves me with the next guy on my list, and I'm staying in state. I'm going to OSU, baby. This kid is a jitterbug. This kid has some crazy jump cuts. This kid can make you miss in the hole. He'll make you miss in the phone booth. Justice Hill. Watch this guy's tape and tell me he's not a football player. He might be slightly undersized. It's okay. We've seen smaller backs win in the NFL. He doesn't have to be a power guy. You get him on the outside. You get him in space. You design plays to get him open, and he's gonna make magic happen. I like Justice Hill a lot as a football player. Oklahoma State, go watch his tape. You're going to fall in love with him too.
I think you just made Justin upset.
Yeah, no, I had him keyed up for my next pick, but I kind of figured you might take him. I want to point out that the three Oklahoma players went back to back to back. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make that back to back again with Kyler Murray because I have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside ranked ahead of him for
nice pick.
Regular PPR, and so
that's Doug's boy.
Yeah,
I was gambling that he was going to make it back to me.
At the 206, I'd be really happy to get him. He is a touchdown monster, and I think that he's got Mike Williams in his blood. So we'll see what he does in the draft. But I like him as a flyer in the second.
Yeah, I don't even consider him a flyer, to be completely honest. I think Whiteside is, I think when I did my wide receiver ranks, just personal ranks, I had him as my wide receiver 3 in this draft class.
Very nice.
So yeah. I was hoping, see, here's the thing. I got into the crux of, do I want Anderson or Whiteside? I think Anderson has the higher ceiling than Whiteside, so I was hoping that he would get back to me, because if I can in these, when these rookie drafts, you know, after the actual NFL draft happens, if I can get Arcega Whiteside in the middle of the second, that's a slam dunk pick for me every single time. Unless he goes to like some team where he's a repetitive asset, like someone already has a big tall receiver or something stupid. But
I think the part that's concerning for me is that every year at this part of the draft, we are talking about guys who don't have as much draft capital, and it's very rare that a draft gets this deep and we're still talking about first and second round players. So it's almost inevitable we're going to be reaching for our guys or taking people in really poor situations, you know, either crowded or a dumpster fire, which still yet to be seen who's the biggest dumpster fire, because there's several teams competing for that honor.
Yeah, this is an empty parking lot with flaming dumpsters. They're just hammering it out to see who wins. Absolutely. So I'm up at the 2-7. Now, I look at the board. I've got some interesting players here, but I think at this point in the draft, I'm shooting for, again, I'm shooting for upside with a late second round pick. Now, we haven't had any quarterbacks taken. This is a single QB format, but you know what? I'm going to break the seal here, and I'm going to take Kyler Murray, who very well could be the 101 in the NFL draft to Arizona, or maybe the Raiders move up to go to the 101 if the Cardinals really like Rosen. So I'm going to take Kyler Murray here because I think from an upside perspective, I look at my board, he's got the most upside of anybody left.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good pick at this spot. But I'm going to a position that I haven't drafted yet as well. And you guys both kind of you jumped me both times on the tight ends earlier. So I'm going to go with a guy. Again, I keep going back to that Alabama. Well, I'm going with Irv Smith Jr. Could possibly be the best pass catching tight end in this class, could possibly be the best overall day one ready tight end in this class. I thought that he surprised some people with his athletic scores. He was not Noah Fant. He wasn't, you know, these crazy metrics for a tight end, but he, for his body size, his height and weight, put up very good athletic scores. So Irv Smith showed he can be the athlete you need him to be. He can block well. He can catch very, very well. So I like adding Irv Smith to my roster here late in the second round.
Nice. So at this point of the draft, for me, this is where it does become kind of dart throws. There'll be more that fleshes out based on the draft. And I hate to sound like a broken record with that, but I feel like that is a huge piece we're missing right now, and I just want to throw this out there. I will never draft an actual draft pre-NFL draft. I did that once.
Oh, God, no. Experience. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Terrible. For the 209 right here, I like the potential for Travion Williams to come into the NFL and just be a productive back. Maybe not running back one ever, but to have those weeks where you're like, oh yeah, it's like a flex play. I'm going to toss him in there. I think that he'll be just one of those good running backs that all around does well, but isn't super special overall.
I like that pick. So I've got one pick left, and I'm going to go local with this one because he might be the only local player on offense that's draft eligible, except for my boy. How could I forget about my Boston College tight end, Tommy Sweeney? I'm not taking him here.
Tommy Sweeney.
I was like, what? You're taking Tommy Sweeney?
No, I'm going to go.
That's who I thought. I was like, oh, he's going Tommy Sweeney.
I'm
going
to push it a little further west in Massachusetts.
Up to UMass.
And I'm going to take Andy Isabella, 4-3-1 at the combine. I think he's going to get drafted mid to late second round, possibly. I mean, speed kills in the NFL. I think this kid can, you can line him up all over the place. He had a really nice Senior Bowl week, not quite as good as Debo Samuel, you son of a bitch, Tim. But I think Isabella is going to have the draft capital to warrant a really nice pick here. So I'm going to go with Andy Isabella from UMass, home of Victor Cruz. Let's go.
There you go. There you go. You know, I'm kind of falling in line here with what Doug's just saying about Isabella. Is I saw this kid on tape, just not a ton of tape to watch, but it's more system based, more quarterback play, just really hurt him. And then he goes to the combine and he just starts lighting things on fire, just ripping things apart. Miles Boykin forced me back to the tape, and I'll be honest, my initial rookie rankings, I had him way too low. I have him way too low. So Miles Boykin's going to get a bump in my rankings. I think the end of the second round, you're taking a shot on the upside of the athlete here. Again, if he gets in the right system, it might take a year or two, kind of like the Curtis Samuel experience. But if they decide that they want to start using him as more of a gadget and weapon type player, I could fully see Boykin being a point scorer on the NFL field for sure.
All right, Justin, you've got the 2.12. You're wrapping us up. Who is Mr. Irrelevant?
Our Mr. Irrelevant is going to be David Sills. I don't want to call him a just guy. They're good players, just good NFL players. I think Sills comes in. He can produce early. He's polished, and he should be. He's an older player. So I would be happy to get a guy like that. I could see him being a, you know, day two selection to a team and coming in and filling a need for an NFL team, not just being a prospect. So I would project that for him. And I really liked his game at West Virginia. I think that he made Will Grier a better player and will help him get drafted higher. Because anytime I watched Grier, I was automatically just drawn to Sills.
Nice. There's some good names that are still available in this pool. So again, you know, if you have late second, early third round picks, there's still plenty of what I think are good players out there. You know, one of the guys that I thought about taking instead of Isabella was actually Bryce Love, because I don't think a lot of people are talking about Bryce Love at all. You know, I know his season ended with an ACL injury, so he may be a little bit slow coming back, but I think this is like the end of the second, early third is like a perfect spot, especially if the draft capital is there with Love, because he does have some really nice tape with Stanford. I mean, he was a Heisman finalist, so I think people are dismissing this kid, and I think that, you know, if he's a guy that gets drafted in the fourth or fifth round, which is completely possible, maybe that bumps him up a little bit, but I'd be investing in Bryce Love at that point. So he was kind of, you know, on the fringe, but I think Isabella, as of right now, probably has a little bit more upside because of Justin talked about it with draft capital, I think is going to be richer for Isabella. So I went in that direction. So let's do a quick recap here and then we will close out the show. So at the 1-1, I took N'Keal Harry. Tim at the 1-2 took Joshua Jacobs. Justin took his boy Hakeem Butler at 1-3. I sniped Tim at 1-4 with AJ Brown. Tim regretfully took DK Metcalf at 1-5. Justin took Darrell Henderson, running back, at 1-6. I took the value in David Montgomery at 1-7. Kelvin Harmon went to Tim at 1-8. At 1-9, Justin took Miles Sanders. At 1-10, I happily took Noah Fant and his athleticism. And then Tim, he sniped me at 1-11, taking Debo Samuel. Justin added his first tight end with TJ Hockenson at the 1-12. At the 2-1, I took rock solid Damian Harris. At the 2-2, Tim took the upside of Paris Campbell. At the 2-3, Justin took Hollywood Brown. At the 2-4, I took Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma. At the 2-5, Tim sniped Justin with that Justice Hill. So then Justin sniped me, taking J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at the 2-6. I cracked the seal on quarterback at the 2-7 with Kyler Murray. Tim took his tight end at the 2-8 with Irv Smith Jr. At the 2-9, Justin took Travion Williams from Texas A&M. At 2-10, I took wide receiver Andy Isabella. At 2-11, Tim took Miles Boykin from Notre Dame. And to wrap up the draft at the 2-12, Justin took David Sills from West Virginia. There is our rookie mock. We won't do another one until after the draft is done because things are going to change. Little small prediction. Things are going to change quite a bit here in the next month and a half. It's going to be crazy, which will be fun. I mean, these are a fun exercise because, you know, I write all these down. I'm going to go back and reference them, and we'll talk about them when we do a draft right after the actual NFL draft. And that's pretty much when most of the Dynasty rookie drafts happen. Is some of them happen like that Monday after the draft. Some of them wait a week. So we're going to be recording that Sunday night. So we're going to hammer it out as soon as we can for you guys. So that way we can give you guys the edge on the players after the NFL draft. So great episode, gentlemen. I did want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. We had Trophy Smack. So make sure you use code DHHRING. You'll get a free ring. They've got some of the coolest trophies in the whole industry. So make sure to check out Trophy Smack. Also, Fantasy Champs. Man, we got all sorts of trophies going on. You can use code DHH as well over there for, I believe it's 10% off. And we do want to thank our final sponsor. It is the Sit or Start Fantasy app. Make sure you check them out on Android which is the Google Play Store, as well as iTunes. They're going to be revamping quite a bit for Sit or Start, so in talking to Jason. So very exciting things coming out of them for this coming season. They've got all the news, free agents, everything. They're going to be able to get through that, as well as you'll be able to use their Sit or Start feature. So if you've got that conundrum on your lineup, you'll be able to pull up your app, punch it in. They're going to go through all the comparisons and tell you who the guy is to start in your weekly matchups. Whew, that's a mouthful. Justin, Tim, any closing words for us this week?
No, I mean, this is a great time of year to go ahead and get yourself something like the Sit or Start app because of the free agency, the cuts, the trades, the signings. It's, you know, you get that app, you put it on your phone, you let the notifications flow your way, and you keep your mind right there at ease with all this NFL news that's going to be happening this week.
Absolutely. And
I got to say, just do something good for someone this week without being told to or getting anything out of it.
I believe that's the pay it forward, if you will. So
yeah, exactly.
Very always a nice thing to do is to pay it forward to someone else. Whether it's, you know, it's the smallest thing of, you know, leaving the quarter in your cart at Aldi, paying it forward, right? You guys shop at Aldi at all?
Don't have one.
Shame. Once you get one, check it out. Awesome place. So that's going to wrap it up for DHH this week. Thanks again to Justin for filling in for Tyler. I believe the Tyler, Tim, and Doug show will be back next week, but don't quote me on that. But until next week, this has been the Dynasty Happy Hour. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.